You're listening to episode 319 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. On this podcast, we explore the very nature of our minds, how they work, and how they shape our life experience. We believe that life is finite and precious. We know that our minds provide a powerful lens through which we experience the world, and we choose to take responsibility for building psychological strength to craft a life experience that's worth living. I'm Dr. April, a social cognitive psychologist and a life design strategist, and I'm so glad that you are here. You know, it seems like you can't open up an internet browser these days without running into an article or a piece of research talking about the topic of resilience. Now, it makes total sense, right? The pandemic and all of its ripple effects, there have been so many of them, it's really caused us to live in this place of stress for over 18 months now. And the thing is, humans have actually evolved to handle stress pretty effectively, but not necessarily when it's prolonged, like what we've been experiencing. So it's not really surprising that so many of us are feeling the effects of the challenging time that we've been in, and the media just highlights that fact. Posts and articles, they offer resilience tips, they're just everywhere these days. And while I completely support getting that information out there, working on building up your skill set and all of that, I still hear some common myths about resilience. And so today, we're doing a little myth busting. Tell me if this sounds like you at all. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe it's the pandemic. Maybe it's something at work, something truly difficult. You got laid off. Maybe you didn't achieve at a particular project that you were working on, any number of things. It could be something personal. Maybe you are experiencing a really difficult time in an interpersonal relationship, or someone in your family has gotten sick. Those types of things are inherently stressful and challenging. But tell me if you've ever fallen prey to the situation where you're in a challenging experience and you're experiencing the emotions that go along with that, right? The stress, maybe it's anger, maybe it's fear, maybe it's just anxiety. And you look at yourself and you think, wow, I'm really not handling this very well. If I were more resilient, I would be able to handle this better. Or in situations like the pandemic, where we're all kind of going through a similar situation at the same time, it can be really easy to start comparing. Man, it looks like that person over there is really handling it, and I don't see them really, you know, expressing how difficult of a time they're having. That must mean they're doing okay. I must not be as resilient as that person, or I wish I was as resilient as that person. I know I've fallen prey to that. I've experienced that situation where I've looked at someone else and thought they really had it together, and then got down on myself because I felt like that said something about my skills, that I was having a hard time and experiencing some negative emotion and challenge and stress. And here is where we get into one of the biggest myths about resilience. At the heart of all of this self-judgment, and at the heart of this comparison, is this key myth that I want to tackle today. And that is this, that if you're going through a hard time and you're feeling the effects of that hard time in the form of stress, in the form of anxiety, in the form of those negative set of emotions that we don't typically enjoy experiencing, if you're going through a hard time and you're feeling that, the myth that I hear out there is somehow because you're having a tough time with the tough time that's happening to you, that means you're not resilient. That true resilience would mean somehow you'd be able to get through this difficult time without experiencing those things. And I wanted to tackle that today because there's a huge misconception out there. There are whole books written by about this. I'll talk about some of them in the last part of this episode today. So stick around with that. But there are books written about this notion that we believe that somehow our negative experiences, whether it's emotions or anxiety or whatever the case may be, just simply feeling stressed and having a hard time, that those signal that something is wrong, that something is wrong with us, or that we're not dealing with a situation well, or that we need to fix something. And the thing I want to challenge you to think about is that life just by default brings with it challenge and adversity. You can't escape it. And because of that, we human beings have evolved to have a natural response to challenge and adversity. And that natural response is anxiety and negative emotions and stress. All that it means when you're going through a difficult time and you're feeling the effects of it, all that it means is that you are a human being with a mind. It doesn't mean that you lack resilience. It means that you are a human being with the capability of assessing your situation and recognizing that it is not ideal in one way or another, probably far from it, given some of the examples we've been working with. And I hear this a lot where people will say, I just don't feel like I'm very resilient. And, you know, most recently, the pandemic has been a big focus. I don't feel like I'm handling this very resiliently. I'm not moving through this very well. Well, of course you're not. If our measure of resilience is that somehow you don't experience negative emotions or stress or anxiety when times are difficult, then really what we're measuring ourselves against is a non-human bar. Something that is subhuman, in fact. Because one of the things that makes us as human beings, that makes us unique from all other animals out there, are these big, complex, powerful brains that we have. And big, complex, powerful brains bring with them the ability to notice things about situations, to realize that those things we're noticing are not aligning with how we would like the situation to be, and to then have a full and complex emotional and even physical experience as a result of the situation not matching what we would like it to be. It just means that we're human. It means that our minds and our brains are reacting in a way that is perfectly natural and logical. And so, this idea of resilience, or in put another way, another term that you might have heard is the idea that you can thrive through adversity. This idea of resilience, the focus gets put in the wrong place. So many times we focus on the adverse event or the trauma, and we think we're supposed to be thriving, meaning skipping along, joyfully enjoying life in the midst of a serious issue or trauma or challenge. That is not what that means. Instead, what it means is it's this ability to support yourself as you move through it, which might mean simply allowing yourself to experience negative emotions, simply allowing yourself the space to grieve or the space to get angry or the space to go inward and self-reflect. That doesn't mean you're not resilient. Resilience, in fact, is tapping into what is it that I need in this moment and supporting yourself through it when you're in the midst of that situation. And then as you get out of that situation, the idea of thriving through adversity or post-traumatic growth is another term you might have heard. That all comes into play with, once we've experienced this event, what do we do from here? How do we handle it from here? What am I going to make it mean And what am I going to take forward as a result? So the biggest myth that I want to bust today is that if you are experiencing an event and you're experiencing the very normal emotions and physical reaction as a result of the event, that says nothing at all about your level of resilience. All that it says is that you are a human being with a natural reaction to challenge. The last piece I want to say before we get into some tactical things that you can do to support yourself and also grow as a result of challenge, the last thing I want to say is when you're in those comparison situations, and again, gosh, is that normal? I've definitely fallen prey to the situation where I've looked at somebody else and said, man, they're handling this well. Human beings have this incredible ability to ignore our own emotional landscape and our needs, to suppress them, to numb them. We do it all the time. In fact, so many of our sort of maladaptive behaviors, drinking, eating, anything we're doing to excess in order to avoid the current situation that's happening in our lives right at that moment, those behaviors result when we try not to experience the emotion that is a natural byproduct of the situation that we're in. So the deep-seated part of this myth is not only do we look at ourselves and say, wow, I'm experiencing a negative emotion here, and that must mean I'm not resilient, but then we attempt to push that emotion away, and we end up putting ourselves in a more difficult or less helpful situation as a result. So keep that in mind in whatever situation you're going through right now, whatever challenge you're going through right now, paying attention to the emotion that you are naturally feeling, paying attention to the needs that are coming up during that situation, that's what real resilience is. Capturing and cultivating the ability to recognize your own emotional landscape and your own needs and be with them without judgment. That's real resilience. That's real psychological strength. Now, I wanted to make sure that we went through that and that we covered that important myth before we got to some practical tips about what you can do to support yourself through these difficult, challenging situations. So when we come back in just a moment, we're going to go through a few quick hands-on tips that you can use to support yourself when times are really challenging. Now that we've busted the myth that somehow experiencing the negative emotion and the stress and the anxiety from a challenging situation somehow indicates that we're not resilient, now that we know that that's not the case, what does it actually mean to build resilience and how can we support ourselves through these more difficult times? And here I want to focus not on the adverse event itself. Let's say it's I'll talk about one event in particular in my life when my dad passed away. During the grief process, during the intense initial grief process, your job in that moment is to grieve, period. Your job in that moment is to be with your emotions, allow them to run their course, and go through the process that it takes in order to move through grief. That's your job. Your job is not to figure out how to thrive right in that moment. Your job is to grieve. And that takes a lot of different amounts of time depending upon who you are. Similarly, if you lost your job, you might be so angry initially or so sad or maybe a whole lot of different things. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Your job is to be with those emotions in that acute event. The tips that I'm going to give are ones that you start to employ as you get over the initial really difficult wave or difficult phase of a challenging situation, as you start to get your bearings and get your feet under you again. When that happens, I want you to think about a few things. So the first thing is that I want you to think about the emotions that were involved in that situation, because challenge happens, right? Difficult times happen. But if we can grow as a result of them, that puts us in a better situation the next time something difficult happens. So as you're looking back on that extremely challenging time, spend some time getting to know the emotions that you experienced. You've probably heard me talk about this before, but this is another great application for something that we call emotional sifting. So I'll link to a blog post in the episode notes of this episode, in the show notes of this episode. But in particular, the analogy I love to give is one of paint. Imagine you had a big bucket and you're going to pour some paint into it. And each of those paint colors, all these different colors of paint, represent a different emotion. So maybe you have some yellow paint, and that yellow paint represents happiness, and you pour that yellow paint into the bucket. And then maybe you've got some green paint, and that green paint represents jealousy or envy, and you pour that into the bucket. And then you've got some red paint. That red paint represents anger. You pour that red paint into this bucket, and you keep pouring these different colors of paint, which represent emotions, into the bucket, and you stir it up. What do you have left? Pretty much like gray emotional sludge, right? It's impossible. And if you showed that to someone, if you showed them that bucket with all the paint mixed up in it, you said, what color is in here? They'd be like, I don't know, like brown. I don't know what that is. And they would think you were crazy if you said, no, it's yellow and it's blue and it's green. These challenging events many times lead to a situation where we experience very complex emotions. And when that's the case, one of the things that makes them so challenging is that we don't understand our own emotional landscape. It can be really challenging. So after you've gone through the acute, difficult part of that challenge, do some emotional sifting. And here's how you do it. Go to Google, Google the words emotion wheel, like on a car. I don't care which one you pick, just pick any one of the ones that come up. I want you to think of a challenging time. Maybe it's something that you've recently gone through. Maybe it's something in your past, but think of a challenging time. I'm going to stick with when my dad passed away. And go through that emotional wheel and just randomly pick four emotions. Go to the outer layers of the wheel where they get more specific. The emotions are more specific. Go to the outer layer of the wheel, pick four random emotions, and I want you to try those emotions on for size. You're not saying you necessarily experienced them just yet, but I want you to get used to starting to experiment with emotions. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say I picked the emotions of, you know, joy was on my list, anger was on my list, jealousy was on my list, and excitement, right? Those are all over the place. And let's say I'm talking about, you know, when my dad passed away. I would look at each one of those emotions and try it on for size. Okay, joy. I'm not saying that I'm joyful right now, but if a person was joyful in this situation, what about the situation would make them joyful? What about this situation could possibly cause a person to feel some joy? And things that come to mind are, well, my family grew really close. We spent a lot of time together during that time. We told stories about my dad that, you know, were intimate to the family, and a lot of them were really funny and really heartwarming. And there was definite joy in that. And how about, let's try on another one, anger, right? I'm not saying you are angry, but Let's pretend a person, if a person were angry in this situation, what would make them feel angry? I can think of a lot of things. I was really angry that my dad, you know, he had symptoms that indicated he needed to get a colonoscopy and he waited. I was really angry about that. I was angry that he could have gone in earlier and maybe we would have had a different outcome. That's just one example. Definitely angry. How about excitement? You know, truth be told, our family spent a lot of time at the hospital, especially in those late days. Anybody who's taking care of somebody who's in a difficult situation knows that caretaker fatigue and burnout is a real thing, and it hits everybody in the family. I was excited to not have to go to the hospital anymore. Not for a little while. There was true excitement in that. And finally, jealousy. This one's an easy one for a kid who loses a parent. If a person were jealous in this situation, what might make a person like me jealous? Well, my friends all have their dads. Father's Day is coming up. That makes me feel jealous. And as you go through this, you can start to see, wow, you can almost come up with elements of all of these emotions. And by doing this systematic exercise, it helps you try them on for size. And not only does that allow you to look back on the challenging situation that you went through and gain something from it, gain some clarity that might actually help you move forward, but the next time you're in a challenging situation, you will be that much more able to recognize your own emotional landscape. Emotional sifting. Try it. Second tip that I have. It is with respect to how we might have conducted ourselves or how we might have handled ourselves during that challenging situation. Now, again, in the middle of the situation might not be the time to be doing this. But later, as you look back, what might you have been able to do in order to move through that situation more effectively? Were there instances where you just lost track of your values and you behaved in a way that you weren't proud of? Were there times when you made a short-term decision that ultimately in the long term was a bigger problem? Those are just two examples. But looking back at that situation with a critical eye, asking yourself, how might I do a little better next time? With compassion that the person who behaved in that way was going through something hard. But with the eye to the future, if I'm in this situation again, what might I learn from this? And how might I do this a little bit differently? You're going to hear me use the word might a lot. We use that word so much in life design. You're trying things on for size. How might I do this better next time? Differently next time. More aligned to my values next time. So once you've done that emotional sifting, go through and think about what could you learn from this situation that you could apply the next time around when challenge hits you. You'll be amazed at if you run through a number of circumstances or a number of challenging situations, you might find that you have behaviors that you sort of fall back on and rely on when you're in a really stressful situation. That can be gold. That is so helpful. The third thing that I want to talk about, it goes back to emotions again. Once you've done that emotional sifting and you have an idea as to what are the emotions that you were feeling, I want you to pay attention to those not-so-fun ones, those negative ones, especially the strong negative ones, anger, grief, guilt, resentment, right? Pay attention to those emotions. You can't have that strong of emotion about something that you don't care about. Can't do it. We only have emotions that are that strong when there is something that we care about at stake. Pay attention to those emotions and allow them to give you information about what's truly important to you. What is it about that situation? This can help you clarify your values going forward. It can help you understand yourself going forward and anticipate what might be important to you the next time around. And anticipation, man, that gives you a leg up on the challenge and uncertainty that life can throw at you. So emotional sifting, what might I do differently? How might I do better next time? This one is allowing emotions to be information and self-awareness. And the last one is around identity. We've talked about identity quite a bit on the podcast, but for those who maybe haven't caught one of those episodes, the way that we think about identity in Peak Mind is a little different than what you might have seen in other places. Lots of places talk about identity as, here's what you would put after the, you know, to finish the sentence, I am. You know, I am a mother, I am a leader, I am an entrepreneur, whatever. We don't see it that way. We see those as roles that you play in your life. Identity is what your mind has learned about you passively over your whole life, what it has learned and now believes to be true about you and people like you. Our gender, our ethnicity, our socioeconomic status, the location of where we live in the world, all these factors play into it. So think about yourself. What do people like you do? What do they not do? What are the rules that people like you follow? What should or shouldn't a person like you do? What can or can't they do? Sometimes challenging situations are at odds with those rules or beliefs that we have about ourselves. And if you sit and get quiet, you can think about, was there something about that situation that ran contrary to a rule that I have for people like me? Was there something about it? You know, I recently went through a very large professional transition. I ended up taking on much more within one of my businesses than I've ever had before. And it was an incredibly difficult transition. But one of the things that I did afterward was to pause and reflect and think about this identity piece. Because better for better or worse, a belief that is in my mind about people like me is that people like me can't handle big things like this by ourselves. We need help. And here I was in a situation where I had to take on a lot by myself. It ran at odds with my identity, and I really struggled with it. But ultimately, realizing, no, that's just a belief I have about myself. I actually have a lot of evidence to show that I can handle this. It allowed me, it didn't take away the anxiety, but what it allowed me to do is to begin to take small steps and experiment my way into a new future where I've proven to myself that I can take those things on by myself. So the terms thriving through adversity or post-traumatic growth or resilience, they come into play when we think about what are we going to take away from a challenging situation we were in? What are we going to make it mean? What are we going to do differently? How are we going to grow for the next future difficult thing that comes along? Resilience, just to recap, does not mean looking like you're okay in a situation where it is not logical to be okay. Resilience means supporting yourself through the truly difficult time and then systematically and intentionally thinking about how can you grow for the next one. I want to thank you so much for being with me this week, and I want to thank each and every one of you who has shared these episodes with a friend or a family member. Thank you. I want to thank every single one of you who have left me a rating and a review on iTunes. You have no idea how helpful that is. Thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do so. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I'll see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.